Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Hello, and welcome to episode 30 of The Kitchen Table Show. This is crazy. 30 episodes.
30 a milestone, so to speak?
I don't know. Is it?
We'll wait till we do 52, and that's a full year.
So. Is it really? Wow, we're close.
Yeah. Well, we started this, what, back in May, June?
Yeah, the summer. That's crazy.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Jake.
Welcome to the program. Thanks for hanging out with us. So this is basically the premise of The Kitchen Table and why we do this. I am father. Jake is son. Jake is now 19, freshman in college. And last year, as he's finishing up high school, I thought to myself, man, I wish I would have had more time to have more faith conversations. And so we decided that we would do this as a way of us continuing to have faith conversations, but also as a way of encouraging parents and their children, mm-hmm. teenagers, young adults, doesn't matter the age, parent and child, to have those faith conversations. And so that's why we started doing this. And then eventually, beyond just becoming a podcast, we started airing it on Shine.fm, just having incredible faith conversations. Now, last week was heavy.
It was.
If you didn't listen to last week's podcast or show, it was a heavy show. It's a personal topic. We shared some personal experiences. It got emotional. And so I thought we would go a little lighter this week. Yeah. But still an important conversation to have about the Christian walk. So the faith conversation today, and this is how we do it briefly. We have a faith conversation for about 20 minutes. Then we move into another segment.
Yeah. We move into Music Matters, which Dad and I are both very big music people. Dad works in the radio industry, so he knows music. And then I just listen to it and love it and play it. And then we move into Culture Shock, which Culture Shock is when we kind of take something that's happening in society or just kind of things that relate to life.
Yeah. It's a potpourri of culture happenings.
We don't know what it is usually. We just kind of go with it. Well, we do. But
we do with it, but we don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So the faith conversation this week, we're going to be talking about this question. Is hope necessary for the Christian life? Hope. Hope means different things to different people. Mm-hmm. So the question is hope necessary? Now, I just want your first reaction to that question. And that's a yes and no question, so I don't want a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
I want you to put some thought into it.
Me, like, I just, my first thing was like, duh. Like, of course. Like, when you hope for something, you're kind of like, I don't know how to explain hope without using hope in the sentence, but
right.
Like, I want that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're wanting it so bad that you're going to hope for it. As a Christian, we hope to be fulfilled with Christ in our life. So I feel like if we don't have hope, I don't know.
The whole thing's pointless.
Yeah. As a Christian and as a follower of Christ, we want to have that hope that God is going to come back and that is going to take care of us in our dark time. Because, I mean, life is not pretty.
Right.
You found that out last week if you listened. And so I feel like without hope, there's nothing.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Well, the world's definition of hope and how it's used in vocabulary today, five-year-old, Christmas is coming up, or birthday, whatever. They are hoping for such and such gift, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're hoping for that. They're wishing, if you will. That's the mainstream thinking of the word hope. For a believer, follower of Christ, hope is a completely different thing. Hopefully, through this discussion, we will try to show some light on the fact that, obviously, the answer to the question is yes.
Yeah.
Is hope necessary for the Christian life? Yes, because the Christian life is all about hope.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't want to leave it there.
Yeah. I think that hope is like a sibling, like a identical twin to like faith, because you can't have faith without hope. You know what I mean?
Okay, so I prepare a lot for these podcasts, right?
And I don't.
And you don't. You come in cold turkey.
I'm just like, let's wing it. Let's go.
And that is a profound statement you just made.
Yeah, I made one. Finally.
Without preparation.
Woo!
Yes. Faith is definitely strongly tied to hope. So let's dive into this, shall we? John Piper. You've heard of him.
I have.
I read some stuff on him when it comes to hope. You know, without hope, let's start there. Without hope, we end up thinking about ourselves, about our futures, about our problems, about our potential, and that keeps us from loving others, he says. In fact, one of the things I pulled from his article, really in this statement, there is freedom in hope. Hope is the birthplace of self-sacrificing love, is what John Piper says. So we let God take care of us. We aren't preoccupied with having to take care of ourselves. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in God that he is going to take care of us, right? We say, Lord, I just want to be there for other people tomorrow because you're going to be there for me. So that's the hope we have. When we have that hope in Jesus Christ, that is, there's freedom in that. And we're able to move the thinking of our mind, the efforts that we have in other directions, and that is loving others. I like that. We distinguish the word hope, again, in regular vocabulary, from certainty. I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope it happens.
Yeah.
But when you look at hope in the scripture, and hope is actually mentioned in the Bible like 180 times. Obviously, it's important, right?
Yeah.
It's really the basis of this whole thing. In 1 Peter 1:13, it says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's not that wishful thinking of the vocabulary of hope. That's distinguished from the certainty. There's wishful thinking, and then there's certainty. Christian hope is when God has promised something, he's going to make it happen, and you have to put your trust in that promise. Christian hope is a confidence that something will come to pass because God has promised it will come to pass.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Hope is a precursor to faith. They are very much tied together. Faith is believing and trusting in something that you cannot see. Hope is imagining that there is something there to even believe and trust in the first place, in the belief that it could be. Hope redefines what is probable, and it opens up pathways to what's impossible.
With what you said before, like hope, acting like a kid and being like, I hope that such and such gift is under the Christmas tree. You hear the term childlike faith. We need to have a childlike faith. What comes with a childlike faith is a childlike hope. I think that we need to act like we're children and we are hoping that God is waiting under the tree for us. And especially in the dark times that we have in our life, we need to hope that God is under that tree for us, or we need to hope that God is on the other side waiting for us and watching us and taking care of us in that time.
Hope is that certainty that we feel.
Yeah.
There is certainty in hope in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's not like a wish, oh, I wish this would happen. There is a certainty to it that we feel. Again, the connection of faith and hope coming together. Hope is a portion or a part of faith. Faith and hope are overlapping realities. That's what John Piper says. Hope is faith in the future tense. So most of faith lies in that hope that we have. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So this implies that hope, like faith, is strengthened by the word of God. So how does our faith grow? How does our hope in Jesus Christ grow? And that's from reading his word, looking to Christ who provides that source of hope. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave himself up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? All things. So the essence of what we look to in the Bible to build our hope, what Christ has done for me, that is the essence of hope. So why is hope important? You alluded to this earlier. Why is hope important? Because life is difficult.
Yeah. When you are in the hard time of just like a challenge or anything, that having hope also kind of reminds you that you're not alone in that situation. Because if you have hope, then you know that God is with you. I mean, you said it, the hope is having kind of like a certainty of expectance. When you feel hope, you kind of feel, oh, God is with me in this situation right now. And
sure.
Even in the Bible, it says we aren't to do this alone. God gave us people to help us in hard times. I think hope also gives us a feeling of help in some way of, oh, I'm not alone in this.
Right.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Erwin McManus wrote this, hope is essential for our souls to thrive. If you don't believe you have a future worth living for, your spirit loses all hope, and your soul was not designed to live without hope. In fact, when we lose all hope, we lose all desire to live. Mm. I think that's a very true statement. Yeah. Life is full of uncertainties. We can be certain of God's promises. Here they are. God loves us. God gives life through the sacrificial death of Jesus. He will welcome us into his ultimate kingdom. He'll not let anything separate us from his love. He works all things for good. He's going to settle things once and for all someday. So we walk through life with hope because we have a confident certainty that God will keep his promises to us and to the entire world. When you look at it this way, I don't know how anyone can live without a hope in Jesus Christ. To me, being an atheist must be the saddest possible existence on the planet.
Yeah, I can see that. It's a whole perspective thing. I'm a social work major, and so I've been taking a lot of like sociology or like human behaviors. I think it's just somehow in the way they were raised. I've read something and it said that like a percentage of atheists, I can't remember, I think it was a fairly big one, used to be in the church and then something happened.
Right.
And then they switched to atheism.
I don't believe there is such a thing as atheism, because if you deny the belief in God,
then you're
actually acknowledging that there can be.
Yeah. That's what I always thought when I was a kid. I was like, if there's not a God, that you're saying God, like
that there could be.
Exactly.
By you acknowledging that there's not. Read a blog. The person's name is Noemi. She didn't have a last name, but she said this. You know, in this world, hope still remains strong on the list of human needs. It's like a single candle during the night. It gives light for us to continue on and to find the way out of darkness. This light of hope burns so strongly in the heart of some. Hope is all we need to keep on living. It is the foundation to build one's life upon. It is a commitment to continue to struggle, creates endurance, and brings strength. Because of hope, some people take action and decide what will become of their life. People must also accept finite disappointment. We must never lose infinite hope, because in life, there's going to be failure. There'll be times where you don't feel like you have hope. Hope is a very necessary component for everyday life. And we're talking about hope in Jesus Christ. We must never give up and never think that our goal is impossible or too hard to attain. If everyone thought that their goals that they had set in life were too difficult, there wouldn't be any of the great inventions we have today. Our world would be a very different place. Hope will always be the roadmap and light to the darkest path of life. It will be one's guide on his or her journey to happiness. Hope lifts eyes. Hope lets me see what could be. Hope tells me there is more. It forces me to keep walking, searching, longing, loving, and it leads to faith. Again, they are connected. That's why hope is so important. If we don't have the hope that Christ is for us, then we will be engaged in self-preservation and self-enhancement. But if we let ourselves be taken care of by God for the future, trusting him, having hope in our future because of him, whether 5 minutes or 5 centuries from now, we can be free to love others. Again, we talked about that a little bit earlier. That was John Piper's thought.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Christian faith is based on hope. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our expectation, our hope, derives from God and his promise. In his mercy, he has promised us new life through faith in Jesus' resurrection. I want to talk about that this week because we talked about a heavy topic last week, and I wanted people to know that even though we go through difficult situations in life and it's not easy, the reason we can wake up every day and take a step forward is because we have that hope in Jesus Christ. There are some specific results of hope, how it impacts our lives. It impacts how we see ourselves. You have to realize we are living in the temporary. This is not our eternal place.
I mean, it's like that whole Francis Chan, the rope metaphor.
Yeah.
Where he had like one tiny tip of the rope and was like, this is your life on earth. And then had this like 20-foot rope and just going, this is your eternity in heaven.
And the rope just keeps going on and on and on.
And like, I saw that in sixth grade and that just stuck with me.
Hope impacts what we value. Should we spend our time that we have here, this temporal life on earth, focusing on the things of heaven and the things of earth? Well, yes and no. Our values are set for the destination. Our reality is living in this world and our purpose in this world and the hope that we have and our purpose of sharing that hope with others. Hope also impacts how we live our lives. How do we use our time? How do we use the gifts that God has given us? How do we use the things that He has blessed us with to bring Him glory? Hope also brings us rewards. Hope brings us joy and peace. Romans 15:13, Paul's writing to the Romans, and he prayed that the God of hope will fill the Romans with all joy and peace because of their belief in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, he also admonishes the Thessalonians to always be joyful no matter what their circumstances, because it is God's will for them. Another reward of hope in Jesus Christ, it gives us strength and courage. In Psalm 31, David, he called on those who believed in God to be strong and let their heart take courage. Hope also gives us confidence. The word of God endures throughout time. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Life is full of uncertainties. God's promise is this: He's going to bring us a right end to this story that we call life and this thing that we call time. God will remain, and we will remain in Him. That's the hope we have. Christian hope also provides us an alternative to despair and indulgence. Romans 13, we no longer live in darkness. What does it mean to live in darkness? That means to live without hope. Our hope extends beyond the confines of time. God is the author of time. If you feel like you're losing hope, a lot of times they'll tell you, don't look to the past. But actually, if you look to the past, not your past, to the past, from the beginning of time, you see God's faithfulness. That's how we build our hope. He was faithful through all of that to all these different people. Yeah. So focus less on the future and look to the past of how God has been faithful. That's what builds our hope.
Yeah, that's a good idea of that. Because a lot of people would say, like, don't look back, because that'll make you think about all the good times that are gone. You had hope back then. Like, what were you doing that brought you hope?
Or even through a difficult time.
Yeah.
And in when you're passing through that difficult time, you're not thinking about hope.
Yeah.
You're thinking about survival. I think we mentioned that last week. Mm-hmm. You're surviving.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you're able to survive because of the hope you have in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So I pray that this will speak to you in some way. If you're struggling with something, it's all about hope. We wouldn't be where we are without hope and faith in Jesus Christ. So that's going to wrap up our faith conversation for today. And we're going to move into Music Matters. All right, Music Matters. This is how we do it. If you're new to the program, this segment, we look at music. I find a song that I like that's a fairly new song and present it to Jake. He finds a song that he likes, fairly new song.
And I present it to you.
Yeah. And a lot of times we find songs that the other doesn't know about. It's my goal anyway to find something you've never heard about.
Yeah, and I usually find something that you don't know.
Occasionally it happens.
Occasionally. It happens a lot.
Not today.
Not today, no.
So my song today is by a guy named Stephen Malcolm. Do you know
him? I know him.
You know Stephen Malcolm?
Uh-huh.
Okay. He's got a new CD coming out. See, I say CD because I'm an old guy. He's got a new album. No, that's old too.
No.
His
I
new
mean,
project. How about that?
EP. I don't know.
It's not really EP anymore.
Well, I mean, if you say album, because you get like albums on iTunes.
It's true.
You're thinking of a record, like an album. Yeah.
But nonetheless, he's got a new one coming out, and I got a new song from him, Stephen Malcolm. It's called The Second City. So a little bit about Stephen Malcolm. He's from Grand Rapids, Michigan. How he came to Christ, a friend suggested that he come to church with him. He was struggling with some family issues. He was focused on his freshman year of college, and so he came to church with this friend. Didn't have any faith walk before that time, and the worship service inspired him. And you want to know why? The worship service was a mixture of hip-hop and dance. I don't know what church this is, but I want to check it out. And so he started regularly attending this church.
Mm.
And he left this rap group that he was in to become involved with his church and working in his church, part of the church's worship team. Now, flash forward several years, he's putting out music. And so the song, The Second City, it's the title of the album, I believe, as well. says this: out of the darkness, out of the prison, light up the future, hope and redemption out of the darkness.
See what you did there.
You like that? Yeah. Tie it together every time. And you know what? I don't plan this. It just happens after the fact.
Seriously? You don't plan it.
I don't.
I.
Stephen Malcolm, it's called The Second City on Music Matters. Out to the darkness. Out to the darkness, yeah. Out to the prison. Light up the future. Light up, light up, light up. Hope and redemption. Yeah.
I like it. I dig it. Pretty good.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. All right. So my song. It's not a new one, but they did a new version of it that I really like. So Need to Breathe. A big crossover secular Christian artist. Well, they have their old song, big one called Testify.
I know it.
Yeah. I was like, I think you played on Shine all the time. They made a new, like they recorded one of their live shows, but it was an acoustic set. So they're doing an acoustic version that is live also of Testify. And I was listening to the song, and this song's about 2 years old now. Back then, I just didn't really appreciate it. I loved the song, but I didn't appreciate the lyrics for it because I liked the groove that was with it. And then I listened to this, and the thing I love about acoustic covers is that they strip everything that is like techno-y or like cool about the music, and they just do the simplest things they can that the lyrics really hit you. And so when I was listening to this again, I kind of mentioned it before in the show during the faith discussion of having a childlike faith. And in the song, they're talking about weightless will dance like kids on the moon. Oh, I will give myself to you as soon as you start to let go. Give me your heart. Give me your song. Sing it with all your might. Come to the fountain and you can be satisfied. I think that life gets so stressful sometimes that we need to feel weightless like kids on the moon and go to the fountain, go to Jesus and be satisfied. Here is a little reminder with a new twist of Testify by Need to Breathe.
Like that version.
Oh, it's okay. It's like they bring it down so you can just hear the words.
Yeah. And I like seeing live shows like that where they do variations on their hit songs for sure. Okay, so we've done familiar songs, new songs, more recent songs nonetheless, and now we're going to go into what we call an oldie but goldie, which is an old song. And so, again, I did not plan this, but I went back. What I do is I basically start Googling top songs, I pick a year, and then I just look at the list and I find one that I really like. And so I went back to 1987.
Okay. I wasn't born.
That was the year I graduated from high school. So the band Whiteheart.
I know them.
You know them.
I do know them.
Yes.
They were on your iPod.
Yes, they were. And so the song is Fly, Eagle, Fly, the number one song from 1987. Listen to this lyric. And there is hope that won't pass away. It's the power of the anti-gray. You may grow weak, weary, and worn, but he'll make you strong, for he's the Lord of the Endless One. Again, tying it together with hope. Did not plan it.
You're good.
It's God thing. So here is Fly, Eagle, Fly, number one song, 1987 from Whiteheart.
I remember listening to that one. I got one. Today's a lot of firsts. I got that one.
That ties up Music Matters. Now we're going to move into a segment we call Culture Shock. As we mentioned at the head of the program, we in Culture Shock, it's really a potpourri. It really anything can come up and we want to share and it can affect culture. We do a lot of parenting stuff with this one. We talk about a lot of Christians that are in mainstream acting or sports figures.
Chris Pratt.
I'm a big Chris Pratt fan.
I feel like we've talked about him like six times maybe.
Probably so. But today I found some information because I get asked a lot by parents when it comes to technology and what they need to be careful for. And so I found five apps that should not be on your teenager's phone. Are you ready for these? And I'm going to give you a reason why they're dangerous. It's not just I'm just going to throw it out there, you know, why they're dangerous. Uh-huh. Okay. Snapchat.
Yeah, I can understand that one.
So it allows you to capture an image or a video and then make it available to a recipient for a specific amount of time.
Yeah.
And after that time is up, that disappears forever. Why is this dangerous? They can, of course, receive and send inappropriate pictures, and they feel like there's no consequences because it goes away. There is always a way to retrieve and capture those images.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember that. So Snapchat, take it off your kid's phone. Another one's called Yik Yak.
Never
basically
heard of it.
The users of Yik Yak are anonymous. I've actually downloaded this and read comments from anonymous people about our university.
Really?
Horrible, horrible stuff.
Wow.
Horrible language. So you don't create a profile on our account. You can post comments that are accessible to the—
Do you look up like certain things?
Well, the comments are accessible to the nearest 500 people to you. So it's geotagged. A psychiatrist called this the most dangerous app he'd ever seen because it can turn a school into a virtual chat room where everyone can post their comments anonymously.
Yeah. There's been other versions of that.
Untruthful, mean, character assassinating short messages. This causes problems in schools across the United States.
Just sets up more like cyberbullying. You know what I mean?
It is. It's exactly what it is, and it's anonymous.
It's awful.
So if they have Yik Yak on their phone, take it off. Another app is called Whisper. It allows you to post secrets anonymously and also allows you to chat with other users, again, in a geographical area. Many children are drawn into communicating with strangers, feeling that their secrets are safer with them than with their friends. It's a perfect tool for ill-intentioned strangers looking to connect with young people. Again, it's called Whisper. You can exchange messages, people near you. That's the scary part.
I want some of these kids to watch Catfish on MTV and see the consequences of what these people do to people. Because, I mean, like—
They're fake. They're not being real.
Well, no, I know, but, like, I feel like if the kids saw what the catfish did to the person who was actually genuinely invested into this relationship,
right,
and see how hurt they were by this, I wish they would understand that.
Number four is Kick. You heard of Kick?
Nope.
Really? I'm surprised you haven't heard of these. This is a good thing. I'm happy. This is a free app. It's an alternative texting service. It allows you to text either, you know, words or pictures without being logged into phone history. Makes it easier for a child to talk to strangers without your knowledge since it bypasses the wireless provider's short message services. Children also think they can do whatever they want without parents finding out. So, dangerous stuff. Now, those four, you can see how dangerous they are. This fifth one, in my opinion, is the most dangerous one. It's called Poof. P-O-O-F. Poof. This app allows you to hide other apps on your phone. Okay, so you're hiding the icons. If they have Poof on their phone, they can hide these previous four, and as a parent, you don't even know it.
Hmm.
If children have apps that they want to keep hidden from their parents, all they have to do is download the app Poof, and their screen is clear of any questionable apps. So if you see that Poof app on their phone, you may want to ask them what they're hiding.
Huh.
Busted.
I don't know. Like, with you and Mom, like, I've always been open. You know what I mean?
That's not everyone.
I know. I can't understand it. But
it's all about relationships of parents and children.
It is.
And we had an open relationship where we could talk about anything. You didn't try to hide things from us. And if you did, we found out.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Parents have to be vigilant of this.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's a help to you. Again, if you want that list, I'll actually put that on the Kitchen Table Facebook group. If you're not a member of that, please join on the shine.fm page, and you'll have that full list and everything that the resources that are provided there. And there's some other apps I'll put up there as well. So you can check that out. That wraps up Culture Shock and also brings a close to our program. So thank you so much for tuning in this week.
Yeah, I hope it leaves you happier than the last one.
And remember, hope is directly tied to faith.
Amen.
And you can't exist in this world without hope, and hope in Jesus Christ will just going to take you to places you never could imagine. So remember that. Again, connect with us on the Kitchen Table group on Facebook. It's on the shine.fm Facebook page. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can get all the episodes, and let us know what you'd like us to talk about. We love getting faith questions and suggestions from folks. We'd love to hear that. So thank you so much for tuning in this week.
Have a great week, y'all.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm Podcast Network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.